Well, the Telling Project is a different way to tell the story of our nation's veterans and their experiences. Local vets and family members of veterans are interviewed. Their stories are turned into scripts. And then those vets and family members go up on a stage and tell those stories. Telling Kansas City will take place in the days ahead at the National World War I Museum here in Kansas City. And this is such an interesting idea. Here to talk about it is Candy Smith, who's a retired master sergeant from the 442nd Fighter Wing in the Air Force Reserve. She served at Richards, Gebauer, and Whiteman here in Missouri. She's loaded bombs on Thunderbolts, run an orderly room, and served as an executive administrator. Candy, welcome. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Dan Welsh is also here in the studio with me. He joined the Marines back in 1975. He served in Desert Storm and Operation Enduring Freedom. He's now retired from the Marine Corps. Dan, welcome to you.
Thank you.
On the phone this morning, Jonathan Way is an Austin-based playwright, writer, and producer. He's founder and executive director of The Telling Project. And Jonathan, good morning to you.
Great to be here.
Well, let me begin with you, Jonathan. What an interesting idea this is. Where did the concept come from?
It was basically our last-ditch effort when I was at the University of Oregon working with a group of student veterans there to do some outreach and to get some meaningful connections between the civilian student and Eugene, Oregon population and them. And this was in 2007. So we had actually been in combat at that point for several years. And these folks were experiencing a degree of isolation that they didn't really feel was necessary. And so we put this together for the first time back then, and actually, I'd like to make mention of this. When we open tonight, this will be our 30th production nationwide since 2008.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And the first performance of The Telling Project was where, Jonathan?
It was in Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. How do you transform the stories you're initially told into the performances the audience winds up seeing?
Well, basically what we'll do is we will transcribe the interviews verbatim, and then myself or another member of the Telling Project staff will excerpt those transcripts and create a three-act draft of a script. We will then hand that draft to the folks who we interviewed, who are going to perform their own stories, and we will say, here are our suggestions, and I'm sure we got them wrong. And Candy and Dan will tell you that, in fact, we do, and we did, and they corrected us. And that's what a lot of the process is them taking our instigation and saying, you know what, this is actually what really happened, or this is how I want to say it, or this is what I'm remembering this, or I actually don't want to talk about that as much. So it's an ongoing process. In fact, I'm sure they'll tell you that the process is still going even up to this moment.
And so, John, the performances change from city to city. Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
And you started searching for stories in the Kansas City area when?
I think we started talking to KCPT and to the National World War I Museum and Memorial last year at about this time.
Wow, a year ago.
We've been working on this project for about a year. We started working with this group of veterans directly. I was out there in July is when I interviewed. And so we've been working on shaping these stories and this performance since then.
Well, Candy Smith, you're taking part in the Kansas City performances?
That's correct.
And veterans want to take part in this project. Why?
For me personally, you know, I've been retired 11 years, and it was just a way for me to get the story out about my military experiences and also the experience of female veterans, because I think a lot of our voices get lost. And I think sometimes you don't always hear the positive experiences of female veterans. And my experience was very positive.
For example, why was it so positive?
I was a reservist, so I think it's different. It's a different grind than it would be for active duty. But just the fact that I had a lot of camaraderie, I was a bomb loader in an all-male shop. So,
wow.
You know, you kind of have that. I'm the little sister, but at the same time, I'm one of the guys. So that builds a lot of camaraderie. And then I eventually segued into becoming the wing commander's executive administrative person. And so you get to see things from a higher level, what's really going on from the top down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just a lot of exciting things that went on in our unit. We're an A-10 unit. So we were involved, you know, in Bosnia, Desert Storm. We're now in Estonia. So just it was a pretty cool time to be in the military.
Dan Welch, you want to be a part of this project. Why?
Well, I think that the biggest reason was a lot of people say, thank you for your service and we support your troops. But they don't know what they're thanking us for because they don't know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a great opportunity to talk about it. And as our director says, we have some really ripping good yarns.
Well, what do you hope people walk away from after they see this at the National World War One Museum in the coming days? What do you want them to take away?
Well, I think two things. One, mm-hmm. I want them to be entertained because that's part of what we do. And then secondly, I think we have a real variety of views of how it affected the veteran. And I think they need to see that and then hopefully honor that service no matter what those views are because they've come out and they've kind of given it their all.
You know, a lot of veterans, Dan, it's interesting to me, they don't want to talk about their experiences for one reason or another. It's such an interesting dynamic. Some obviously do want to talk. How do you explain that? How do you account for that?
Well, I think it's so personal to some that they just, you know, it's either so intense or so hurtful that they can't talk about it. And others don't think it's important enough to talk about. So I think that's why it's good that Jonathan came out and our director, Aaron Merritt, and has been able to bring us out and be able to tell some of the stories.
How far back do the stories go, Candy, that we're going to be hearing in Kansas City? The conflicts date back to what?
Well, we love the fact that we've got one person who's reading his father's letters to his mother from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a couple of Vietnam vets, and then goes all the way up through when we all retired in about the mid 2005 range, so Desert Storm.
That's Mike McGraw, my former colleague from the Kansas
That's
City
correct.
Star, I think, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Have either of you been on stage before, Dan?
No. It's quite an experience.
You're laughing, and it's experience why?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, it's really great, but it's a lot of work, a lot of work.
And you're shooting for a Tony here, right? That's what you want to come out of this experience.
I want to be a star when I get done.
If you don't win the Tony, the whole thing's been a bust.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Satisfied with anything else.
Yeah. Jonathan, these storytellers have to commit a lot of time to this project. I mean, what do they have to go through before they can even start rehearsals?
Well, like I said, we do an extensive interview with everyone about their military experience. And we do that just because, A, we want to get them thinking about it in detailed ways, and B, we want to have us to work with for the initial draft of the script. Once that's done, once that interview is done, then we have to take an interval, obviously, to transcribe and to draft this first draft, and that's of months. And then they are going to rehearse at least 40 hours, and it's usually going to be more like 60. And then they also are going to have to commit time outside of rehearsal to memorization. And then that doesn't actually even include the time that they put into the performances. So the commitment is pretty substantial. I think that the thing to keep in mind, I think as Dan has said, and hopefully Candy feels the same way, it actually ends up being a really fun process. And I've had this pointed out to me before. I'm not military. I don't have a military background. You're doing something over and over and over again. You're learning the various different kinds of things that could happen. You're learning your role very, very well. You're learning the roles of everyone else around you, and you learn how to depend on one another when you go into that situation. Because once you go on stage, you know, everybody in show business knows, once you go on stage, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a sort of parallel phrase in the military, which is, once the first bullet flies, anything can happen. And that's sort of the mentality that actually is an interesting parallel between what we do and what these folks have been through.
And Jonathan, just for the record, both your stars here in the studio with me are smiling as you make the point that anything can happen up on stage. They're smiling nervously, I think. Well, Jonathan just said, Candy, that this is all a lot of fun. He's the executive director of the Telling Project. Of course he's going to say that. Was it as much fun as he said it was?
It has been a blast. Not only learning the process of what to do to prepare for the play, but just getting to work with these guys. You know, we're all varied branches of service. None of us are actors, but we have just really bonded very tightly, and we cut up, have a great time.
Dan, do you guys end up going on stage? You know, is there a story where a line where you each go on stage individually and tell your story, or is it are things sort of melded together and your stories are sort of meshed together in a certain way?
Well, they mesh together, and that's thanks to Jonathan. He's really put a really good spin on this because they all interconnect. But we are telling our individual stories at the same time. But you can see the different viewpoints as each person tells its story and then how we connect to each other.
Jonathan, the pressure on you guys to come up with a script, that must be a little bit on the intense side.
It can be. You know, it really depends on the cast and the people that we're working with, and also on the timeline. To be quite honest, these folks in Kansas City, there was some really wonderful symmetries and resonances and dialogue happening between their various experiences before any of them knew each other at all, that made putting this script together particularly pleasurable. It was fun to write. It was really interesting, and there were a lot of different kinds of layers that'll always come out in the course of creating the performance. Sometimes we see them during the scripting process and sometimes we don't. And in this particular case, I got to see a lot of really cool, interesting, and as Candy points out, historical resonances here. I mean, this is World War II forward. This is, you know, a big chunk of our nation's history,
right,
that is going to actually be represented in person by Kansas City residents on stage tonight.
Well, I should point out that Telling Kansas City opens at 7:30 this evening at the National World War I Museum. It'll play multiple times in the days ahead. More information, just go to thetellingproject.org. I wanted to give our listeners just a sense of what this project sounds like. This is a clip of the Telling Project when it was performed up in Iowa.
You know, it's amazing when fear comes over you. Let me tell you about fear. It's a sudden rush. You feel rigid all over. You feel warm. But miraculously, your senses are better focused. You can see sharper. You can hear and you can smell better as your finger slides down your rifle to feel the cold, killing power of your trigger. As you feel the discomfort of the earth and the sharp rocks that penetrate your body beneath you. Hemingway was right. Courage is grace under pressure.
Jonathan, why did you decide to come to Kansas City?
I was invited. Honestly, you know, we work with cities all across the country, and we were reached out, actually, Aaron Merritt, our director. She was living in Kansas City at that point. She's since moved to San Francisco, but still has strong ties to the community there. And she and I, we went to undergraduate together many decades ago. Let's not talk about that too much. And she saw an article that had been put out by our alumni magazine about the work that I'm doing. I knew that she was doing this kind of work, and we reached out to each other. And she actually happened to know folks both at KCPT and at Liberty Memorial, and this just came together really beautifully.
Well, Candy Smith, Dan Welch, good luck this weekend. Break a leg, okay?
Thank you so much.
Jonathan Wade, the founder and executive director of The Telling Project, thank you very much for taking some time. Jonathan, I sure appreciate it.
We absolutely appreciate it.
And again, more information about all the performances coming up in the days ahead, just go to thetellingproject.org.